Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoors Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, and producing is Byron this morning. It's Jake is off today for his 40th birthday, and happy birthday to Jake. He'll be missed today, but we got Byron filling in. So let's go ahead and get started off with the show. Let's go to the Hammer, Captain Glenn Hammond, an hour later than normal, but he's there. Good morning, Hammer. What's happening?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. Not too doing, much, man? Buddy. We're doing all right. The wind is, actually, it shows 14-mile-an-hour gusts, but it's only blowing 6 out of the south right now. Kind of light. So I got a trip this morning with a couple of guys, and we're going to go out and sling some bait, see what we can do. I hadn't been on the water in a week and a half or a little more, so we'll find out. But man, our tides are still running low. You know, I know we've had that southeast wind and stuff come off the beach, but it's just not our bay, just our level, the water level just isn't coming in that great.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything. I was headed out to Spring yesterday. We went to look at a little dog, a rescue dog. This guy works for a rescue place, and they have all these animals, and he had this dog, and said it looks like a Samoy or Alaskan Husky, or it's just beautiful, got the blue eyes, you know, and it's only 2 years old. It's a female. She's already had a litter of puppies, but they took her and had her fixed and all her shots, and she's just a sweetheart dog. And I believe they're going to deliver her to us tomorrow, so we're going to get us a new puppy. Yeah, well, they do that for new homes, you know. And I don't know, he not to just check your place out, but he was bringing his kids to the beach anyway, and they said they would bring her down, and so that's anyway. Got back home, and the tide still was going out, man. We couldn't get no. I got a telephone call from a buddy of mine. Well, a friend I know, and he was on his jet ski, and he was stuck on a sandbar in Matagorda Bay, and I'm on the freeway. I can't do anything about it. I wouldn't, you know. He goes, "Do you know anybody with an airboat?" And I said, "Oh my goodness, no. Why?" Well, it's going to take
one. How do you run a jet ski aground that shallow?
Yeah, I don't
know.
Surely
in Matagorda Bay, you can see the bottom.
I do not know, but he said he had put it on Facebook. He texted or pinged and put it on Facebook where he was located. He got all these calls. He gets a call from a game warden, And he said, you're blank out of luck, buddy. You know, he flat told him that they couldn't do nothing. Their airboat was getting worked on or whatever. But anyway, I called him to check on him yesterday afternoon. I got a text from him, and he said he was safe. That's all he said. He didn't go into any details. I didn't know. I said, look, do you got anything bright, a life jacket or something? The people just aren't seeing you. Because he said, I see boats going by, but they're just not seeing me. I said, well, you may have to stand on top of that jet ski and use your life jacket or a throw cushion or whatever you got on that thing that's bright. Use something to attract their attention. Hopefully you got
it. Which Matagorda Bay was he in, east or west Matagorda?
I didn't even ask him, Captain Mickey, east or west.
That's a long way to go on a jet ski from the ramps where you can put in. That's pretty good.
And then
pretty good run there, bud.
And a jet ski, you would think you could pull it off of any kind of sandbar. With a boat,
I figured him himself, he could drag it off himself.
Well, whatever. He's a young guy. He's a young guy, and he's got lots to learn, Captain Mickey. That's all I got to tell you.
Well, that's how you learn right there. That's how you do it, by your own mistake.
He's one of those, if they want to know how to fish, they Google it. You know what I mean? They go online and find out all that stuff. So he probably found him a trail online.
Let's Google fishing. Oh, boy.
No, man. That's they got to have the shortest way, the quickest way, the smartest way. Yeah, anyway, the whole world's changed right now. But my neighbor, Captain Brandon, had trips this weekend, and I was wondering why he didn't show up on Friday. And come to find out that last Wednesday, when we had all that bad weather, and I told you we had like 30-mile-an-hour winds, and you said, man, there was some other bad weather nearby. Well, he keeps his boat, Captain Brandon keeps his boat in a storage in Angleton. And it got hit by a tornado, and he couldn't get his boat out. They wasn't letting anybody in there to get their stuff until I don't know when he got it out. He finally said they let him in, and he was able to get his boat, and there was no damage to it. So he's got his boat away from there, at least where he can do trips next weekend. But just very lucky, man. That's close to home. I didn't even realize that we had. Something like that happened that close. So
you wouldn't believe all the things tore up just right down the road from me. I could hear it, but I didn't know which way. It looked like it moved on out across the bay and went towards Anahuac from me. But boy, they're down on the south end of the road I live on, about 2 miles from me. There's quite a bit of damage down there. A little twister came through there, messed a lot of stuff up.
And that's that little system from last week?
From the other night, yeah.
Yeah. Man, oh, man. Well, I tell you, we had some visitors down here yesterday and day before. It's been mighty crowded down here. Yeah. I haven't, far as fishing, our beachfront still dirty. It's trying to clean up. We still got a lot of Brazos River runoff, man. Old red mud looking stuff.
Yeah, looking. That Brazos is a dirty river.
It's red. It's going to be. I crossed it again yesterday. Coming home from spring, we went the round way, and we went out to Katy, and we ended up in Pulcher. I don't know how we did that, but anyway, we made it home. We took, because the freeway was so jammed up going back into Houston, we said, no, we got to go. We're going to go another way. No way we're going back through that. So we did it. It took about another hour longer.
Yeah, I'd rather take the long way than to mess with all that.
Yeah, took the country roads, but whatever. We're going to sling some bait today.
So you said you were fishing today?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got a buddy of mine from Sugarland, and he's bringing one of his workers. And they wanted to throw some shrimp, and so that we're going to do that sort of a deal, either pre-shrimp them or pop them corks. I'm not sure, really. It depends on the conditions when we get out there. And what's happening. I like to see that light wind this morning. That's one thing for sure. So it's just mosquitoes are still bad down here. No matter what we do, we can't get out of the mosquitoes. And I've sprayed and I've mowed and I've did this and that, but you got to really stay on it. So let's see what else. The bait camps are all holding bait. They're big shrimp. I haven't even seen them in the last few days, but I know last week they were all big shrimp, just huge shrimp. You don't get very many for a cord, but anyway, you throw those big old hoppers in a current if you're in the right spot here in about a month. I'd say another month. It's when our prime is down in this area anyway, which is some of our best
fishing. Well, that's with everybody right now up down the coast. Everybody keeps kicking that can down the road. It gets later every week.
I know. And then another little blow will come through, and it'll stir the water up or take the tides away. It's just the way it is. This year's just can't seem to get a good pattern yet anyway. So we will. It's all going to be good. I got a feeling it's going to be a great year for fishing. I'm excited as I can just to go out and run that new motor today.
Hell, whether we catch your optimism. That's very encouraging for me.
Well, I just want to get out of the cabin. I'm sitting there looking at that brand new motor on that boat, and just, you know, 20 hours on it, barely 20 hours on it. So I want to get out there and run her a little bit today, and I don't have to bury the RPMs anymore. I can go on home with her, Sally. So bring her home. Anyway, these guys coming, one of them doesn't do very much fishing, but he loves to fish. And so I think I get to teach today, and I like that. I enjoy that. Trying to just help people out before they get off the boat. They can cast a little further. They can tie some knots. They can do this or that. They're going to learn something. When they go with me, one way or the other, they're going to learn something. Because you know what? I just don't like those guys that know it all. It's just like, man, they're telling you what to do. And I'm going, ho, wait a minute now.
I love those kind because I make them look stupid.
Let's ease back on that.
Let them eat a little crow.
I think I've been down that road. But, all right, let's see. With the low winds this morning, I can't even put a spin on how that water. We're waiting for that sweet southeast. Of course, everybody is, and it forces the green water in.
That wind cranked up pretty good yesterday and last night. And It's supposed to really blow today and tomorrow. You know, southerly flow. Right now, I'm showing due south everywhere. No east.
Well, it's gonna blow, and we're gonna go today. Blow or not, I'm getting out of here, man. We're gonna do it. I'm gonna be at the bait camp by 6 o'clock. So after I hang up, I'm gonna get dressed, and my day has started. They're not gonna be down here till 7:30, 8 o'clock. So I got time to get back from the bait camp, eat me a breakfast sandwich, do all that stuff.
Yeah, you got two tides today, and you're sitting on a low right now, a negative. That's why it's low. You'll have a 2-foot tide come in, you know, at noon today. So
you'll have incoming
water all day.
Noon or 1 o'clock, it should be high. It starts in this area right around 9 o'clock coming in. So
yeah, and it should pour on in good with those winds they're predicting.
Well, I look forward to it. We're gonna go in shallow. We're gonna start shallow and up around the little tow heads and stuff, and see what we can do there. And then I move over to the edge of the channel and a little drop offs and this and that. And then I know where some debris is on the bottom. If we got to go to the bottom, we'll do that. But anyway, you can fish that bait various ways. And we'll make a day out of it. And I know they'll have fun because they just love to fish, man. And like I said, I got a new guy on the boat today that's not very familiar with it, so I get to help him out. Let's see what else, Captain Mickey. That's about it. I mean, now we're getting a little bit more breeze. It's showing 5 to 9 miles an hour, but that's not bad at all. That's doable. So like you said, it's going to pick up sometime today. Be ready for it and batten your hatches and tie your hats on.
All right,
on.
Buddy. Well, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to give you a call about coming over and fishing that area with you.
Sure, Captain Mickey, and I appreciate you, buddy. 713-208-0683. Happy fun Sunday. Y'all have a great one, man.
You got it, Glenn. See you, man. All right, that's the hammer down in the Tri-Bay area. And the CCA Star Tournament, the 35th annual, that's coming up. That'll start Memorial Day weekend, run through Labor Day. And if you sign up early, they've got a lot of early bird specials for you. And it's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Get signed up today and take advantage of over $1 million in prizes and scholarships for inshore and offshore divisions with tagged redfish released in Texas waters all up and down the coast to fish for, and other species like gaff top, drum, and sheephead. And offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Just go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And other great sponsors like Mercury Marine, Lone Star, Hoff Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptek, and Coastline Trailers. Go to startournament.org or call 713-626-4222 and get signed up today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right. It is 519 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Port O'Connor now. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Lynn Smith. Morning, Lynn. How you doing, man?
Oh, good, man. You can turn that wind down anytime you want to.
Yeah, I know it. That's I'm afraid we're going to have to deal with this till about the middle of June.
I know it. Yeah, I was looking at the weather and it's unbelievable. You know, we got like till I think Wednesday is supposed to be like 20 to 25 with gusts over 40.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing too for here.
I know. And, you know, I hate canceling trips, and I get people call me, and they're biting at the bit. You know, they want to go fishing, and I go, guys, hold on, man. Just hold on.
Yeah.
You know, it's that time of the year. It's that time of the year.
Yeah, typically. You know, back when we had fish on every street corner, it really didn't matter. You know, the weather, you know, you could go get out of it and still catch fish. Even though you didn't want to fish there, you could still go find some fish. Now there's so many dead spots, and it's just – you know, it makes it tough, man.
Oh, it does. It does. And I don't want to disappoint customers, you know. I don't want to disappoint them.
That's what we're in the business for, is put them on fish and have a good
time
and catch them up, you know.
That's right. And you go to spots that you know have held fish in the past, you know, and perfect conditions, you know, incoming tide or whatever. And good spots. You've always caught fish yet, and it's just not happening, you know.
Nope.
40-mile-an-hour winds. And you go, man, beat your head against the wall. It's just going to happen.
Drive a man to drinking.
Oh, it will. It will. I mean, you know, you go. I went to a spot last week, and I jumped out of the boat and waited this one spot, and I made 5 casts, caught 5 trout, you know, just – boom, boom, boom. I mean, it was like normal, you know, like the old days, you know.
Hey, looky here.
And I went back 3 days later, same spot, same conditions, nothing.
Yep.
Nothing.
Hey, I know the drill, buddy.
Oh, man. And, you know, I had one guy with me, and we never got a bite in that spot. And we climbed back in the boat, and I started idling out of the spot, and redfish just went everywhere. They just flushed out this one gut. I mean, they were in there, you know.
Yeah.
They just didn't eat. They didn't want to eat. Oh, man, it was just frustrating.
That's real aggravating when you know they're there and can't even get a bite, not even one.
I know it. And we were throwing
redfish
everything.
Redfish are notorious for that, though. You know, at least trout, if they're not on, you can get a bite here or bite there and catch one or two. But when them redfish, if they clam up on you, that's just.
No, they do.
And
it's
aggravating.
And we were throwing every color imaginable, you know. I mean, we threw everything. Gulp, we threw everything, you know. But
And then when they're on, it doesn't matter what you throw, you're going to catch them.
I know. It's crazy, you know. Yeah, it just makes it, like I say, make a man to drink, you know.
And drive a man to drinking.
Oh, man.
It's a good excuse anyway.
Last night we had our CCA banquet here.
Did you?
And ran into a lot of old friends, you know.
I bet.
It's always good to go there and see old friends. Ran into old Sam Caldwell.
Oh, Sam, and, man, I hadn't seen him in years. What a character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I usually see Sam every year. Once a year I see him. I see him at the banquet, you know.
Right.
And we shoot the bull a little bit, kind of reminisce, you know.
Yep.
And I never will forget, man, they used to have a tournament here, just the old locals, you know, called the Highway 35 Shootout. And
I remember and that tournament.
Remember?
Yep.
And we'd all get together over at this one guy's place, and then after the tournament, they'd all get together and tell stories about, you know, what happened.
Is that when y'all put a shock collar on somebody?
Yeah, we put it on Sam. We put it on Sam Caldwell.
Yeah, and if y'all thought he was lying, y'all hit him with a shock collar or whatever.
No, what happened was he talks real low, you know, the way Sam talks real low. And,
right.
My neighbor put the shock collar on him, and he telling the stories real low, and all of a sudden he hit a high note in his story. But when he hit that high note, that shock collar popped him, boy, and his eyes got real big, and then he yelled, and when he yelled, it hit him again, and people were falling on the ground and laughing, and I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, people were just rolling, you know.
How many drinks did y'all have to get in to get him to put a shock collar on? That's what I'd like to know. I wouldn't have done
There were a few adult beverages served, I'm sure, but you know, he was standing up telling the stories, and my neighbor just kind of walked up behind him and put that bark collar on him, you know. And it was funny, it was hilarious. We knew what was going to happen, you know.
Oh, Lord.
And oh man, it was happening, I'll tell you. Yeah. But I started to remind him of that story last night. But I'm sure a lot of people do remind him of it. But, it was funny. But anyway, I ran into a lot of people last night there. It was a good story. But everybody I talked to last night, boy, they were wanting to know where the fish were, man. And everybody had the same stories.
I know.
Yeah. You
know, it's
everybody's just, having a tough time.
Yeah.
And, one of my buddies said he went out to one area and said they near the pass, and they were out there, and he said they beat their brains out and they caught four trout, and he said one of them was gut hooked and bleeding, and he said he threw that trout out, and he said it wasn't 5 seconds, he said, boy, this big old shark just hammered it. You know, they said uh-oh. And
the taxmen are definitely crawling through the passes right now. We're seeing them too. They're coming in. Here we go.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, like we call them, the big boys, the big toothy critters with the gray suits are definitely here, you know.
Yeah, the men in the gray suits are here.
They're here. And, you know, this one buddy of mine told me yesterday, he said, I had one come by me that he said, I know it had to be 7 or 8 footer. You know, he said he was a big bull. Big bull came right by me. And he said, boy, he got my attention. Yes, sir.
Those are the ones that get my attention. The bull shark is just, I don't want to mess with one. Don't want to be one.
No. No.
Because they rate them as one of the most unpredictable sharks. You know, they're the cousin to the great white.
Yeah. They claim they have more attacks by the bulls than they do great whites.
Yeah, there's been more bites by bull sharks than any other species, they claim.
Yeah, well, they run up the freshwater rivers, you know.
Yeah, they're bad up my way. They come to Trendy big time. They're drawn to that freshwater, whatever it provides is what their table fare is. They like...
crazy.
Those areas, dingy water, and that's when it's scary. If the water's clean, you know, I'm not as nervous, but when I'm wading, you know, off-colored water, dingy water, and they're in there, it'll make you nervous.
Boy, howdy. Well, boy, I'll tell you what, I've showed that picture of that stingray hit to several people.
That was a bad one, wasn't it?
That was. And
I don't know that guy's name, but, you know, he texted me while I was on air and sent me that photo, and I just cringed when I saw that. That's probably the worst one I've ever seen.
That went all well, this buddy of mine head. Last night, I was leaving the banquet last night, and I showed that to one buddy of mine, a good fisherman, and he said, that's a bad one. He said, but the worst one, he said, I'd ever had. He said, he had dropped a guy off, and this old boy got hit and hollered at him. And he said the guy had on blue jeans. He was wading in blue jeans, Levi's. And he said this big ray, he said this ray was probably 3 feet across.
Oh, my God.
Hit him and went through those Levi's and then pulled the barb out and pulled the skin out through the Levi's.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, he said, you talk about some pain. This guy was in unbelievable pain. He said he was going into shock.
I bet.
He said he was absolutely going into shock.
Yeah, a wound and, like that coming out of your leg, it looks like your guts are coming out. You know, it brings all that tissue with it. That's bad. Yeah, that's not
good. Oh, he said it was horrible. He said it was unbelievable horrible. But he said that guy went through an awful lot of pain. But
I bet.
Yeah, it's nothing to mess with. I mean, I wear those guards, I guarantee you.
It's just like a big old giant cigar lit up, full lit, and just hold it against your skin. The burning is that bad.
Oh, man, it's
like
just terrible.
Branded.
I've been there and done it. I tell you, I know all about it. I guarantee you.
I've been lucky. Knock on wood, man. I have been like lucky.
That one customer asked me, he said, you wear them? I said, do I wear them? I said, I wear them in the shower. You know, you can't be too careful. You know? Oh, man. You know, there's too many stingrays down here. I see way too many of them.
Well, I hope those Bart's Bay Armor boots work because that's what I wear all the time now.
I've
been wearing them about, I don't know, 3 years now.
Shoot, I think I'd wear the wraparounds with those.
Well,
you know?
Man.
Yeah.
The bad thing is, you know, a puncture wound like that and the water qualities we have these days with all this bacteria in the water, that's the danger right there.
Oh, it is. Yeah, I said, I was telling a guy last night, I said, you know, we didn't really hear of a whole lot of Vibrio last year here in Port O'Connor, but I did show him a picture of one that came out of Port Lavaca, and it wasn't pretty. It definitely wasn't pretty.
That stuff's ugly.
Yeah, I mean,
we had a drought year. Usually on your drought years, you don't have that runoff. And
that's right.
Not as prevalent. But, you know, the fresher runoff years, you know, when you get a lot of that localized rain and everything, all these different bacteria, everything enter the water column, and, boy.
Well, you would think as hot as it was last year and, you know, people going back into the back lakes and all that that were stagnant and didn't have a lot of flushing, you'd think that they'd have had more Vibrio.
Yeah.
But we just didn't have it, you know. But you're right, we didn't have the runoff, you know. And that does it. But I personally tried to stay out of some of those back lakes that didn't have any runoff. But just because of that. And howdy. I mean, I knew it was going to be, I thought it was going to be really bad. And you don't have to have but just a little nick on your leg or foot or whatever.
It don't take much. Just a little, you know, just a little.
No.
Just even a little road rash or anything. Any kind of.
Well, Dave Quiton, he had one of those biting flies bit him on the leg. And he got back in the water, got off the boat and into the water, and he got it from that bite.
Well, that happened at the Chandeliers. A guy from Chambers County over in my area, he'd been on a Chandelier fishing trip, and one of those biting flies, and same thing. He they were driving home from the trip, and his leg was swelling up, and he knew something was wrong. He went straight to the emergency room, and thank God he did. He got there and got on it early, or he'd have probably lost his leg or his life.
Man. Well, we got one doctor in Victoria that's real good about the Vibrio. And you'd be surprised.
That is the guy that everybody talks about. He's on top of it. That's uh-huh. who Quidon ended up going to, right?
Right. That's exactly right.
Because his wife went texted me or something, and I said, man, I heard of a doctor in Victoria that's just unbelievable on Vibrio cases.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at DTAR Hospital.
Yeah.
And because Quidon went to went back to Houston, and he went to the hospital, and they didn't even know what he had.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have a clue. And so he came back here and went to Victoria, went to that doctor. But boy, howdy. I mean, it's nothing to mess around with. I'll guarantee you that.
And Quidon's a picture of health.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is.
Just think how it affects, you know, diabetics and alcoholics and people like that with a low immune system.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we had a dentist.
Well, remember old Ken Kramer, the dentist down there? Remember him and Charlie were fishing together in Poco, and he scraped his leg on that pier piling.
That's right. And I saw him the night he got it. We were at Poco, and in fact, he and his wife were sitting at a table, and I sat down and talked to him, and I didn't even know he had that problem. And I got up and went outside the tent. We had a table outside the tent, and I was sitting there, and I just happened to look over, and I saw him leaving, walking out, and he was limping, and he had a bandage on his knee, and his knee was black above and below the bandage.
Whoa.
And I did a double take when I saw that, and I went, oh my God, look at this. And then the next day I found out that he went to the hospital the next day. I mean, I don't know why he didn't go that night.
Oh, no.
You know, but that's what happened. That's how fast it worked. I mean,
it spread like wildfire,
was black.
Man.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And they put him in an induced coma, and they wanted to amputate his legs, and it spread, and they ended up wanting to amputate his hands, from what I understand.
Well, yeah, they wanted to take all of his limbs, and I understand his wife said, hey, you're not taking any more off of him. You done cut him down.
That's right.
Just let
she said, stop. But, yeah, it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's bad. Man. Well, that one customer of mine that had the, I think he had a house at Tiki Isle. Not Tiki Isle, but, well, it was in Galveston, down there in Galveston. But anyway, that got it. He got that Vibrio down there. And
one
he
arm?
Was working on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. He showed me the pictures of that at the fishing show that year. Hang on, let me do this break. I'll come back to you. Hang on a second.
Okay.
All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for great A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, and great barbecue. They have it all going on at the Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy off I-10 or Hempstead off 290. Go downtown, look for the big white sign. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. And check out their pecan smoke barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And their ground beef specials, $3.59 a pound in 10-pound bulk bags. And if you're looking to have a quarter calf or a half calf, you know, custom processed, pre-order for that. Talk to them about it. It's really, really affordable. And their wild game processing, they do that year-round. They never close. And if you're killing exotics or wild pigs or what have you, you can have Vinnie dogs made. They're hog dogs. These are really good. And you can bring something home from your hunt the entire family can enjoy all year long. And the Belleville Meat Market is celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, 540 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back. Hey, I had a listener texting wanting to know if you knew that doctor's name in Victoria.
No, we called him Painless. That was his nickname. Oh, the doctor's name? Oh, no.
The Vibrio doctor.
I can't think of his name.
Ken Kramer was the dentist's name, you know, Painless.
Yeah, no, yeah, both Painless. No, I can't think of that doctor's name. I'll have to find out.
You know what hospital he's at?
Yeah, he's at DTAR.
DTAR?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The DTAR Hospital in Victoria. Gosh, I can't think of his name. I have it on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, everybody knows him mm-hmm. in that hospital. I mean, he is the doctor to go to for Vibrio. I mean, no doubt.
Well, I promise you, whatever happens to me, I'll be taking a ride to Victoria. You can bet on that because I've heard nothing but good out of that guy. He knows his
stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. Play yeah, around. That guy.
By the time they get through running tests on you and messing around here, it's too late.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's right. Well, you know, one guy here, one of our guide buddies, old Ken Griffin, he got it. Yeah. He was down near Powderhorn, and that's not very far from here. And he was waiting. He got to feeling dizzy and everything and nauseous. And he had a spot come up on his ankle. And anyway, he said he got back on the boat and he saw that spot on his ankle. And so he called one of his buddies that was with him, guiding with him. He told him, he said, look, he said, I got a problem. I think I got some Vibrio. And he said, I'm heading in, I'm going back to the ramp. Well, the ramp was about probably, 5 or 6 miles away is all. And he said the spot was about the size of a dime, okay? He headed back in, and when he got back in the ramp, it was about the size of a nickel.
Wow.
And he headed straight to Victoria. And he got to Victoria, and it was the size of a silver dollar.
It's fast.
Yeah. And that doctor said, had he waited the next day, he'd have lost his leg.
You remember old Jesse Arsola, don't you? God rest his
soul. Oh, yeah.
He was putting in, I guess it was Matagorda, and bumped his just kind of barely skinned his leg on the boat trailer or what have you.
No, he got it dipping in the live well.
Is that what it was? Yeah. I thought he was waiting, and he got it immediately as soon as he got out there fishing. He had to bring his party in and go to the hospital.
But got it dipping in the live well, and a croaker or a shrimp finned him.
Thorned him
on his hand. Yeah, that's what happened to him. What happened to Jesse?
Yeah, shrimp horns, croaker fins, all that.
That's all it takes. Now, that one guy in Galveston fished with me. And anyway, he came to the fishing show. And, boy, he threw these pictures on my table. And my mouth fell open.
Boy, could you believe that arm? He didn't lose his arm. Did you see how they had it laid open with all just rotten looking?
You could see the bone.
Horrible.
You could see the bone. It was. I've got those pictures on my phone. I mean, I show people and they can't believe it. But
can you imagine the pain, the throbbing that was going on?
Oh, well, he said, they put him in a coma. They put him in an induced coma, but he was just lucky he didn't lose his leg. He said there's 5 strands of the Vibrio, 5 different strands, and he had the worst strand of it. And that particular year, there were 14 people had that particular strand. He was the only survivor.
Yeah.
The only one that survived.
I remember that year. That was a bad year for it.
Everybody it was.
Getting it all up and down the coast.
But, you know, he was working on his bulkhead there at his house.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
Yeah. And he tripped and fell down. And when he did, he put his hand down. Well, he cut his hand on Archer.
Right.
And so he went upstairs to clean his wound. Well, the next thing he knew, his wife came home from work and she found him passed out on the floor and called the EMS. Well, next thing he knew, he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it works that fast. It happens that fast. Yes, it is.
My mother got it in one of her arms. I was probably 10, 12 years old. She was fishing the Texas City Dike and she was fighting a big old drum or something that slipped on the rocks and she just scraped her elbow. And that evening her arm swelled up as big as your leg in excruciating pain. And
she lost
her arm over that.
Well, a lot of people don't realize it's not just salt water. You can get it in fresh water, too.
No, Richard Tosh, you know, the Lake Conroe guy, he got it in his foot, I think. Like lost his foot, you know, from fresh water.
Sure. So it's not just salt water. It's been around for years and years. We just didn't hear about it, you know.
Yeah, and but it's just gotten more prevalent these days for whatever reason.
I know it.
You hear more cases of it now. I don't know what it is.
I know. But, you know, when we grew up, Mickey, you know, we used to get a cut. Our parents would say, hey, go out there and surf.
Go get in the surf.
It heal it.
But you know, I've never heard anybody getting it out of the surf.
No.
Just, you know, backwaters.
Right.
And we used to go out and surf. That's what concerns me about the back of East Bay, you know, wading that in the summertime when the water gets in the 80s. You know, without rollover pass, any of that fresh Gulf flow water coming in back there. You talk about getting stagnant. Boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, boy. And I can, you know, I can remember just getting a cut and my mother telling me, hey, get out there in that water and it'll heal it.
Get in the surf. That okay. Salt water will heal it up, and it would.
And it would, yeah.
Yeah, it would.
It would. Yeah, we did. We did.
Old timers, hey, you'd cut your finger or whatever, and your grandma would put turpentine on it.
Boy, that's right.
Remember that? Oh, remember that one? Yes. And then after that, they'd put that sulfur cream on it and wrap it up.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Home remedies.
Yep, that's right. It all worked, too.
Now we got Neosporin, man. That's a miracle drug. I mean, I use it all the time, you know, with cuts and, you know, my hands and everything.
Too.
And I mean, it's got a pain reliever in it. It takes the soreness out. And I mean, it heals three times as fast as it would on its own. Plus,
it does.
It's, you know, it keeps you from getting an infection.
Yeah, it does. It
antibiotic cream.
Yep. I carry it on my boat. I do.
I've got a tube in my console of my truck. I got a tube in my glove box of my boat. I got Neosporin everywhere.
Oh, yeah. You got to have it.
And hydrogen peroxide.
Yep. Hydrogen peroxide. You know, when I had that stingray hit on my leg, I kept soaking that wound with hydrogen peroxide every day.
That's what kept it from getting infected.
That's right. And it wouldn't heal up. You know, it wouldn't heal. But it was white. The tissue was white all around the
wound. Yeah, that's the problem with a stingray. It's hard for it to heal because of the, you know, it just kills all the tissue. You know,
that's
like
right.
A snake bite does.
It was dead tissue. Yeah. So I finally got tired of that. So I said, this thing won't heal up. So one day I just grabbed a pair of tweezers and I grabbed that white dead tissue and I pulled it out and it just literally unwound out of that wound. It
really
did.
like a piece of string.
Exactly. Oh, it unwound
it
out
hurt?
Of that wound. It didn't hurt. And put
dead.
More peroxide.
All the nerve endings and stuff are dead, I guess.
And I put more hydrogen peroxide in it, and it healed up. But it wasn't going to heal with that dead tissue in there.
No.
It just wouldn't heal. But anyway, then it healed up. And we were at that banquet last night. We got to talk about stingrays and stuff like that. Of course, everybody had to show their wounds.
Well,
you know?
y'all are right in the middle of stingray capital down there, buddy. They're bad.
Oh, yeah. We were getting into it last night. A bunch of us, man. Yeah. Oh, Jody Norris and a bunch of us, we were
Jody
talking
Norris,
about
man, I love that guy. He's a good one.
Oh, man. God, yeah. Yeah, we're going to try to
caught a lot get of together. Fish with that guy over the years.
Oh, Jody's he's one of the best topwater fishermen I know.
He's a good one.
And he is that, man. He works the topwater harder than anybody I've ever known.
He gets after it. Looks like he's playing a banjo.
He makes them mad, boy. He makes them mad.
He takes it to them.
He does. He works that topwater hard, boy. He makes them mad. Boy, they hit it just for spite, you know.
Him and all his crew, man, they'd fish every Trout Masters.
Oh, yeah. Every well, he won time. One or two of them. Yeah,
yeah. He was always in there.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Jody is a real good fisherman. I fished with Jody several times, and he wanted me to get together with him. We're going to try to get together here in the next couple of weeks, and he's going to retire here pretty quick. He said, and he said I'll have more time to get out there and fish. I said, good.
Yeah, he has like a big office furniture business or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, refurbishes office furniture.
Right.
He says he's fixing to retire, and get down here and do some more fishing. So I said, good, about time, you
good
know.
For him.
He says he's getting ready to go to the Chandeliers. Going to go down to the Chandeliers, make another
trip
down there.
For the shark run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Boy, you talk about a shark pit, buddy.
Oh, I know it. I know it. I've been down there one time.
Well, Jacques Cousteau rated the third biggest concentration of sharks on the planet.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I remember I believe that.
One time.
I believe it. Gosh, sharks and stingrays, too. I mean, there are a lot of them down there.
They all go hand in hand.
Yeah. I went down there years and years ago and fished with Rudy. Oh, gosh.
Rudy Gregor.
Yeah, that was a happening.
Or after he got famous, it was Greg Gore.
Yeah.
Greg Gore.
Oh, yeah. I fished with Rudy in San Luis Pass years and years ago. And that was a happening, I'll tell you.
Oh, I'll tell you. You had never made a wade with Rudy. You hadn't done it.
That's right.
Fart. He was something else, man.
Man, he was.
They broke the mold after him.
They did. There was never a hardware fisherman like Rudy, I'll tell you.
No, he was a man, them spoons. He was hooked on them silver spoons with a green tape on them. You know, chartreuse tape with a red dot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Send me all you got.
Me too. I love that bait.
That was a good spoon, wasn't it?
I caught a lot of fish on that. Man. And, you know, it seems like it's funny. You know, every time they come out with a good bait like that, they quit making it.
Yeah,
Never fails. Never fails. And then I found some sheets of the stick-on tapes with that chartreuse tape with the red polka dots, mm-hmm. You know. And, boy, I bought several sheets of those. And so I'd get the silver spoons and just put those stick-on tapes on
them. Get your scissors out and make it to configure the top of that spoon. And glue it, you know, stick it on there.
Yeah. And we were at a coffee shop here, and we'd go drink coffee some mornings. And there's an old guy named Dixie Howe. And Dixie was the last commanding officer on the island over here on the Army base. And old Dixie's been around a long time, you know, and Dixie's close to 90 years old now. You know, Dixie's a hardcore hardware fisherman. And old Dixie was, we got to talking about that spoon, about that silver spoon with those chartreuse and red polka dots. He said, man, he said, I used to love that spoon. He said, you just can't find them anymore. I said, no, Dixie, they quit making those years ago. Well, I went in that coffee shop one day, and he was sitting there, and I just had one of those sheets with those stick-ons on them, and I just slid it in front of him. Boy, you should have seen his eyes light up. Boy, his eyes lit up. I said, put those on those silver spoons.
I'll tell you, down your way was a big spoon chunker, too, and that was old Andy Lacy. Man,
he was absolutely
a spoon fanatic. Yeah. Boy, I used to watch him and my dad and them wade to surf in Galveston down by the pass. Well, they used to catch some giant trout on them spoons, man.
Well, that's all Andy threw was spoons. That was it.
Oh, yeah. He was a spoon fanatic.
Yeah, oh, and I used to.
That doctor in Victoria, somebody just put it on the Early Morning Sicko page. Jacob Reeves did. It said his name is Brian Burns.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Burns, that's right.
That's it. That rings a bell now.
That's it. It rings a bell, too. That is correct. Dr. Burns.
Yeah. Write that
you better
put it in your wallet. You may need it one day.
That's correct. That's his name. Because that's the one you want to know. But anyway, Andy Lacy. Yeah, that's all he ever threw was spoons. And
you know, his wife, Betty, was a trooper. You know, like my mom. Her and my mom had weighed that surf with all them old pros down there and take a beating and catch him big old trout. Boy, that's back when you'd 6 and 7 pound trout were just common as anything in the surf back then.
Man.
Crazy. And they'd catch fish up to 9 pounds on them spoons.
Oh, good. Well, I'd come in with a bunch of fish and we'd been throwing spoons, and somebody say, what'd you catch those fish on? I'd say Lacy baits.
Lacy baits.
Caught them on Lacy baits. But yeah, that's all he had in his tackle box was spoons. That's it. Period. Yep.
He was definitely a hardware man. That was a good old
day. Oh, gosh,
hardware fisherman.
his son, Andy Jr.
Yeah,
his son, I'll forget, he'd gone duck hunting one day, and he got home and he took the shock collar off his lab, and he laid the collar on a cooler in his garage, and he went inside to do something. He came back out and the shock collar was gone. He said, "I know good and well that dog buried that shock collar. I know he did."
Probably did.
He never found it.
No. The dog wasn't stupid.
No, he took that collar and went and buried it.
All right, Lynn, I got to run, buddy. I'm out of time. Hey, if somebody wants to come down and hang out with you and fish with you, how do they get a hold of you, brother?
Oh, man, they give me 361-935-6833.
All right, Lynn, I'll work on that wind for you, see if I can get some response out of Mother Nature.
Hey, I'd appreciate it. Turn it down a little bit, will
you?
That's
it. Just turn it down a few notches. All right, brother.
Yeah,
see you, man.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, man. Thanks, Mickey. Bye.
All right, that's Captain Lynn Smith, and it's time for another break. And first, I need to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. It works great on tournament fish too. Check them out at the store firsthand. They have them on display, all their different size bottles, their regulators and diffusers. And if you need more info, you can call Jason at 281-701-8107. And while you're there, check out all their wild-caught Gus shrimp, no farm-raised at Boyd's, all their great deals and specials they have on shrimp every week. And you can check on their crawfish prices and availability and all that, or their Cajun Grill next door. They put out some really good food and good crawfish there, too. Go to boydsonestop.com or call them at 409-945 4001, and when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball season is heating up. Odyssey has you covered with the most entertaining coverage of your team. Stay locked in and in the know with the local voices you trust as they bring you unfiltered takes, recap games, react to the latest team news, and talk to callers. Listen to your favorite shows for free on the Odyssey app, Odyssey.com, your smart speaker, or in the car with Android Auto or Apple CarPlay.